If the Bible says that God is going to judge that nation, the nation that enslaved his people, how will he keep from destroying his own people? Same Bible as the book of history. And in the 18th chapter of Deuteronomy, God told Moses, and in the 18th verse, God told Moses, I will raise them up a prophet. Talking about you and me, I'll raise them up a prophet just like thee, a prophet like Moses, whose mission it will be to do for you and me the same thing Moses did back there. It will be a prophet like Moses. And back when you get down into Malachi, he lets it be known that just before he comes to judge that nation, the name of the prophet or messenger whom he would send among the people, his name would be Elijah. Because before the coming of that great and dreadful day, I'll send you Elijah. And Elijah's job will be to turn the hearts of the children to the fathers and the hearts of the fathers to the children. What do you mean, turn the hearts of the children to the fathers? The so-called Negroes are child-like people. We're like children. No matter how old you get, or how bold you get, or how wise you get, or how rich you get, or how educated you get, the white man still calls you what? Boy. Why, you're a child in his eyesight. And you are a child. Anytime you have to let another man set up a factory for you, and you can't set up a factory for yourself, you're a child. Anytime another man can open up businesses and you don't know how to go into businesses for yourself and your people, you're a child. Anytime another man sets up schools and you don't know how to set up your own school, you're a child. Because a child is someone who sits around and waits for his father to do for him what he should be doing for himself, or what he's too young to do for himself, or what he's too dumb to do for himself. So the white man, knowing that here in America, all the Negro has done, and this is, I hate to say it, but it's the truth. All you and I have done is build churches and let the white man build factories. You and I build churches and let the white man build schools. You and I build churches and let the white man build up everything for himself. And then after we build a church, we got to go and beg the white man for a job and beg the white man for some education. Am I right or wrong? That's a shame. It's too bad, but it's true. And it's history. So it says that these childlike people, people who will be children following after the white man, it says in the last day that God will raise up Elijah. And Elijah's job will be to turn the hearts of these children back toward their father. Elijah will come and change our minds. He'll teach us something that'll turn us completely around. When Elijah finds us, we'll be easy to lead in the wrong direction, but hard to lead in the right direction. But when Elijah gets through teaching the lost sheep or the lost people of God, he'll turn them around. He'll change their mind. He'll put a bone in their back. He'll make them throw their shoulders back and stand upright like men for the first time. It says he'll turn the hearts of these children toward their fathers and the hearts of the fathers toward the children. This is something that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is doing here in America today. You and I haven't thought in terms of our forefathers. We haven't thought of our fathers. Brother, are back home. Our fathers are in the East. We run around here begging the great white father. You never hear black people in this country talking or speaking or thinking in terms of connecting themselves with their own kind back home. They're trying to make a contact with the white man. Pick up on that. That's true. Trying to make a contact, trying to make a connection with the white man. Trying to make a connection with a kidnapper who brought them here. Trying to make a connection with actually the man who enslaved them. You know, that's a shame. It's pitiful, but it's true. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad says that when Elijah comes, the book says, when Elijah comes, what Elijah would do would be to teach these people the truth. And the truth that Elijah would teach to the people would be so strong, it would make all this other stuff that the preachers are talking about sound like a fairy story. Elijah would open the people's eyes up so wide that from then on a preacher couldn't talk to him. And this is really true. Do you know people have come to Muhammad's mosque, and no matter whether they believed in what Mr. Muhammad is saying or not, they never can go back and sit in the church. This is true. What the Honorable Elijah Muhammad does is turn on the light. And when he turns on the light, it enables us to see, to think, and to be able to see and think for ourselves. He shows us where the white man, what he has taught us concerning history, has actually been a distortion. He has never given you and me true facts about history, neither about himself nor about our people. You know, I read a book one day called The Four Cities of Troy. You can go to the library, some library, and check it out. What was this based on? Show you what a liar the white man is. When I say liar, you have white people who are scientists, and they keep truth in their own circle. And they never let you, they never let the masses know anything about this truth that they keep in the circle. They got something else that they invent and put out for the masses to believe. But they then something else that they invent and put out for the masses to believe. But they themselves keep knowledge in a circle. So, in this particular book, it pointed out that some archaeologists were delving in the ruins of the ancient city of Troy. And it's the practice of archaeologists, you know, to dig. So in digging down into the ruins of Troy, they dug deeper than they intended to. And they ran into the ruins of another city that had been there so much longer ahead of this city of Troy that it had gone down beneath the sands of time. And they had built this city of Troy on top of it. And when these archaeologists were delving in the ruins of the ancient city, they learned that there was one that was there more ancient than that. So they started frantically digging down in that one and dug below it into another one. And before they got through digging, they had dug down and they had discovered that civilization in that area had been there so far back into history that at different times in history, the civilization had been destroyed, had become completely covered up with sand and dirt until another people came along and didn't even know it was there, and built another civilization on top of that. This happened four different times to give you somewhat of an idea of what the white man knows concerning the length of time man has been on this earth. And still that white man will jump up in your face and try and make you believe that first man was made 4,000 or 6,000 years ago named Adam. And a lot of Negroes are running around here talking about Adam. That's God caught him. God took some dust and breathed on it and told Adam, come forth, and there he was. Now, you know, that's a shame. It's all right when you were a little baby to believe that God made a little doll out of the sand or mud and breathed on it, and that was the first man. But when you were a child, it's all right to believe like that. But here in 1962, with all this information floating around in everybody's ears, you can get it free. Why, you should open up your mind and your head and your heart and realize that you have been led by lies. And today that it's time to listen to nothing but naked, undiluted truth. And when you know the truth, as Jesus says, truth will make you free. Abraham Lincoln won't make you free. Truth will make you free. When you know the truth, you're free. Also, you have your archaeologists, anthropologists, other forms of historians who agree, pretty well agree, that they don't know how long man has been on earth, but if they do know that he has been on earth longer than 6,000 years, and they know that man was not made just 6,000 years ago. They know this now, but a long time ago they didn't know it. There was a time when man had less ribs than a woman. People believe that, because they said that God made Eve from one of Adam's ribs. So Adam had a rib missing. And they actually ran around here believing that man had one less rib. And you know, they were shook up when they really got into the science of anatomy and discovered that man, all his ribs were there. That they began to wonder then what happened there in the Bible. That's a shame, brother. How long has man been here? In the Bible, first chapter of Genesis, and in the 26th verse, after God had made everything else, it says here, and God said, let us make man. Let me write what God said here on the board. Look what God said, brother. I don't think you've ever looked at this. And it says, and God said, let us make man. The key word here is what? Yes. What does us mean? More than one. Who was God talking to? If God was all by himself and no one was here but him, who was he talking to when he said, let us make man? Who was here with God that was about to help him make this man? When God was getting ready to make the sun, he didn't say, let us make some sun. He said, let there be light. And here the sun, a ball of fire, 2,679,785 miles in circumference, 853,000 miles in diameter, 14,972 degrees hot, and God can still let there be, and that big ball of fire pop up in the universe with no help. Now, you know something is wrong. It should be harder to make that than a man. A huge ball of fire, 2,679,785 miles in circumference, 14,972 degrees hot. That's a whole lot of heat. And God said, let there be, and it just jumped up into the universe. He didn't ask for no help. He said, let there be this and let there be that. He had so much power that everything he wanted came into existence. As soon as he said, be, there it was. But when he got to the man, something happened. He said, let us make man. Someone else was there then, wasn't it? That's something to think about. We'll let you think about it for a minute. The white man's world is a newer world than the black man's world. Yet this man that they said that they were about to make, and he said, we are making, how? In our image, showing you that there's somebody there with him. In our likeness, showing you that still somebody is there with him. Let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Let us make him look like us. He won't be the same as we are. He'll be our image. That's God talking, right? He's talking to somebody. You know, I'm thankful to Allah for raising up the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and making us see these things that we could never see before. The birth of the white race has always been a secret. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad says that the birth of the white race is shrouded in the story of Adam. The story of Adam hides the birth of the white race. And because you and I have never been taught to look into a thing and analyze a thing, we took the story of Adam exactly as it was and thought that God made a man named Adam 6,000 years ago. But today, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that that man, Adam, was a white man. But before Adam was made, the black man was already here. And that's not easy. That's not hard to see. The black man always sees. The white man will even tell you that. Because he refers to Adam as the first one. He refers to the Adamites as those who came from that first one. And he refers to the pre-Adamites as those who were here before Adam. Right or wrong? Those people that were here before Adam. And he always refers to these people as Aborigines, which means what? Black folks. You never find a white aborigine. Aborigines are called natives, or they're always dark-skinned people. You and I are aborigines, but you don't like to be called an aborigine. You want to be called an American. Aborigine actually means from the beginning. It's two Latin words, ab meaning from, origine meaning the beginning. And aborigine is only the term applied to those dark-skinned people who have been on this earth since the beginning of the universe. Now that's going way back. What do you mean, since the beginning of the universe? The Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that just as we pointed out there a moment ago, the black man has been here a long time. He never has had a beginning, but the white man has never had a knowledge of the history of the black man. It's like a father and a son. If the father is 50 years old, and the son is only 10, the father knows everything there is to know about his son because he was here before his son was born. The son only knows what has happened during his own 10 years. He only knows what went on before his arrival from what his father tells him. It's the same way with the black man and the white man. The black man's been here a long time, but the white man has been here a short time. Now, the white man only knows about himself what he's been told, and he hasn't been told anything. He came to himself up in the caves of Europe. He can't get any information that goes beyond the caves. And since you and I fell into his trap and was made deaf, dumb, and blind by him, now we don't have access to any information that the white man doesn't know about. So we think that the beginning of the white man meant the beginning of everything. Us too. We're not aware that we were here before he was made. Can you understand that? The Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that the 66 trillion...